All right. Good morning, everybody. So, something that's worth an amen is the fact that we started almost on time today, and we've been doing amazing things for God for the last 40 minutes. And you guys didn't have to listen to me, so that is awesome. That is awesome. Thank you, guys. We'll go ahead and get started without breaking out for a welcome to each other. So if you guys thought that I was a little goofy there, I kind of operate that way where I forget things, and but I inherited it because my mom's that way. And so this morning I went out for a run, and I got back and I saw a McDonald's drink, which I normally have one with me. And I saw one in the fridge, but I knew it wasn't mine because I would have already drank it. And I realized it was Savannah's, and so I go down the hallway and I holler at Savannah and I say, "Hey, are you going to drink that Robert Redford?" And Savannah says, "What are you talking about?" And Jill just starts snickering like crazy. And she says, "Quinn, it's not a Robert Redford. It's a Arnold Palmer. It's an Arnold Palmer, not a Robert Redford." So, I get that innocently from. Yeah, that's what Jill said. Jill said it's a dessert, not a drink. So anyways. Guys, I want us to just dig right into the Word this morning. I want to get into Luke chapter 12. I want to have what I would consider a kind of a straightforward, simple Bible study. So the first thing here, let me just read it. You guys have heard this before, a lot of you have. Consider the lilies. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Does that resonate with anybody? A little bit, maybe? Eric says yay. I want to start off by digging into this first part. Consider how the lilies grow. I found this little discussion of that from John Gill. So let me just read that to you because I think this really helps. Some copies read the lilies of the field, as in Matthew 6:28. The Persic version renders the word the roses and lilies of the field. In the Arabic version, the flowers, any flowers of the field. For what is afterwards said is true of any of them, but particularly of the lilies. Now, as the former instance of God's feeding the ravens is designed to remove all anxious and distressing thoughts about food for the body, this is mentioned to take off everything of that kind with respect to the clothing for it. Wherefore, in Matthew, these words are premised to it, and why take ye thought for raiment? There will be no need of it. When it considered how the lilies or tulips or any other flowers grow up out of the earth, and in what a fine, beautiful dress they appear, without any care or labor of their own, and even without the care and management of a gardener, for the flowers of the field are here meant. And that makes me think, simplicity. Wow, we can make it complicated. Wow. Did anybody understand what I just read? I hope you guys were like, the lilies of the field, and he was able to write that much about that? I want to talk today a little bit about simplicity, about how we can complicate things that don't need to be complicated. In our Thursday night group, we could take this and we could spend a half hour talking about it. Do you agree, Stephen? Absolutely. In fact, Stephen would have to stop us because we would continue to want to talk about it. But sometimes the danger is that digging deep like that has so much goodness in it. So many things we can get out. We can drill into all these little intricacies, but we actually just miss the overarching big picture. Because somebody that can just dig deep in the Bible and talk about it all day long, and the Greek and the Hebrew and all this kind of stuff, yet they aren't walking around being God's kingdom to people around the world around them day in and day out, are probably not as valuable as an idiot like me that can't really understand all this kind of stuff, but once in a while, I actually go out and do something. You guys kind of get that? Simplicity. for me, when I read this, this is what really jumps out to me. How much more will he clothe you? I don't think we, in this case, actually need a commentary on this to get the main point of this. It says, God made the flowers. God made you guys and made you guys in his image. You guys are quite a bit more special than flowers. If the flowers are beautiful, would he not make sure that you're clothed and taken care of as well? How much more will he clothe you? Simplicity equaling righteous living. Do you guys, and you can talk now, do you guys think that righteous living, by righteous living, all I'm meaning is living right with God, living the life that God wants you to live. Does righteous living require or equate to living through simplicity? What do you guys think? Those two go hand in hand. Oh man, I'm getting a lot of like freakish stares. I was like, I don't know. Does righteous living and simplicity living go together? Yes. You think sometimes when you live more simply, I'm restating this so it'll be on the recording, but you're saying that if people live their life more simply, you think you can connect better with God. Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Can somebody, who's got a Bible handy? Somebody grab the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels. Grab that and pinch those pages together, and I want you to hold them up so we can see them. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Kind of pull those pages together. Okay, there we go. Shirley's got it. Man, that's tiny. That's tiny, right? Right. Well, and Bibles are not really fair because they have thin pages, you know. So maybe it's twice that thick in a normal book, right? Right. Thank you for pointing that out and trying to ruin my point. Look at this thing. This is that should be an illegal book. Look at the words in that. You're going to hurt yourself. There are other people that are worshipped besides you. So by the way, those first four books, that's really the biography of Jesus. All right? That's what we've got. That's as much as we've got on his life. And if you dig into those four books, you'll find that there's actually some repeating stuff. So they're not actually different among themselves. In some ways, they cover the same stories and the same tracks. It's even thinner than that for a biography. It's like four different biographies all just sitting next to each other. Now, another person that people worship is Steve Jobs. I've been accused of that. I just read the biography that Walter Isaacson did of him after he died. Walter had been working on it for many years up to that. Have you guys seen this book? 600 pages. This thing is, and it's big, big book. I mean, and slow reader like me, it took me forever. Think how much more I'd know Jesus if I spent that much time reading my Bible. You guys were thinking it, weren't you? Yeah, I see it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the complications of the world. Steve Jobs is a really interesting character, but he's got all kinds of problems. And to try to get a sense for who he is, they've written this massive big book. Jesus has it all together, and all that has made it to us today, all that was needed to get to us today is this small amount. That's simplicity. Simplicity. I want to give you guys some examples of where it's gone wrong in my life. It's kind of a funny little list there. A few years ago, Jill and I decided that our yard's not huge, but it was big enough that we wanted a lawnmower we could ride on to mow the yard, be a little bit faster, you know. Jill even said if we had a mower, we could ride, you know. She's like, I'm comfortable with that. I'd like to mow. I can mow while you're at work. Now, my problem is that I couldn't stop at that because there's a level of masculinity that I require, okay? So I either needed to spend like $10,000 on a big zero-turn mower because that's what I really wanted. No need for that, but that's what I really wanted. But instead, I decided I would save us money, right? That's got to be a good – I don't even need to ask my wife to save money, should I, right? Maybe? Well, what comes along with saving money? So I bought a roughly 1973-ish Cub Cadet 1250 hydrostatic – great tractor. One of the fastest lawnmowers ever built. So I buy this garden tractor, and I began working on it, and I rebuild the motor. I bored it out just a little bit, had a little more power in that baby, and adjusted the hydrostatic transmission on it, got all these new springs put in there, painted it, put new stickers on it. I'm serious, okay? And I even had the inclination when it was done to, like, mow the yard and then park it in the front yard at an angle like a hot rod, you know? That's kind of the way my brain works. Now, keep mind, this thing, the purpose was to do what? Mow my yard, right? All right. By this time, I've spent enough money on the tractor, I could have went out and bought a new tractor. Okay. But it had an inherent problem. Like I told you, it was fast. It was crazy fast. And it had a hydrostatic pedal. So when you push down on the pedal, it goes forward. And then when you lift up, it slows down, and eventually you push with your heel, and it goes backwards. Really cool. So when you push down on the pedal, if you weren't really good, it would jump so hard that it would make you go backwards, and your foot would lift up off the pedal. And then it would slow down, and you'd go forward and hit the pedal, and you'd take off again. Next thing you know, you're going across the yard like a bucking bronco, right? How many fences did we run into? I mean, this thing was just crazy, and for me, it was a challenge. I mean, I loved every time I mowed the yard with it, but also, since I had to rebuild it and it was old, it oftentimes didn't work, and so, it, you know, I get a call and all this kind of stuff. And finally, Jill's like, I'm done. I'm not mowing with this thing, and I completely lost focus of what I was trying to do. Same thing with furniture making. A few years ago, I built some furniture, some beds for the kids. That's a great thing. It's something they could take, but my brain said, I'm not stopping there. We're never, ever going to buy another piece of furniture again, you know. And luckily, I had a wise enough wife that when I was getting ready to dive in to one of my projects one day, she just said, how long do you think it's going to take you to build this little entertainment center thing you want? I'm like, oh, I think I can have it done in a couple months. She's like, you know, we could drive up to a store and buy one and have it done today. And I remember the wheel started turning. I was making something quite simple, quite difficult. Home electronics. One of the most appalling things that ever happened to me was I got the new surround sound system installed in our home. And it really was awesome because if you wanted to watch television, you would turn on the receiver unit, satellite dish thing that I'd bought. I loved that. Bought that right after Chase was born. I still remember it. And then you turn on the receiver, and you got to make sure you hit the right button. And don't let speaker 2 be on because that messes everything up. And then you got to go over and turn on the television because that was on a separate switch. And we had three remotes there, and you had to figure out which remote to use. But, boy, once you got it going, it was amazing. Absolutely. I mean, you could watch Andy Griffith in surround sound, you know. And it was absolutely awesome. And I came home one day completely appalled to realize that Jill had started using the speakers on the television. Is that a huge letdown or what? I mean, she was like, but it's easier. I just turn the knob. It's easy, you know. Example where making things way too complicated. She didn't care. She was perfectly happy with it the other way around. This is one you guys should be able to relate to. Cell phones. How many of you have cell phones complicated your life? I hope you guys can catch that one of the things where this device can destroy you is once it starts controlling you. And all of a sudden, Jill and I are having a very important discussion about something with the kids or something, and all of a sudden this thing vibrates in my pocket, and I can't ignore it. Like, I feel like yeah, but someone's texting me, and I have to respond back, or they're going to think I'm not a nice person. But you know what? Your wife's going to think you're not a nice person if you touch that thing, right? These things can completely control us, and I've been working for a while and still working on that. Free time. In fact, these two here kind of go hand in hand, free time and every Saturday and vacation day being a project work day. Used to, I thought free time was a sin, okay? The idea that I would have a day that God had given me and I didn't have that day planned out with a project was like a sin in my mind. And so as the weekend's coming, I'm working on my lunch break and thing about all the projects I'm going to do. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. All of it mapped out. I got a nod from Doug. Doug's been there. Are you still there, Doug? You're a good man. Free time was like a sin. I had to fill all this stuff with something. I couldn't stand it. And it was making life quite miserable. It was making life very busy. When it really stood out to me was when I saw it in someone else. There was a couple we wanted to have dinner with one time. And it took us about 2 months to have dinner with them. Because every time I'd talk to them, they had every second of their life filled with something. And then I started realizing, I wonder how often I'm doing that to people. How often do I have my life so packed full? So I began working hard and to free that up. And I began to have days, Saturdays, for example, that I would have absolutely nothing planned. I could read a book if I wanted. Jill and I could do something. Maybe Chase and I go for a run together. And I began to realize that God could use those days of no planning to be something absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And the last one I had on here, this is the one I came up with lastly. Savannah is mowing a neighbor's yard. Our yard takes about half hour, 40 minutes to mow, because we've kind of went around our yard and we've put some mulch and stuff around corners and stuff. So you don't have to do a lot of trimming, you know. Took a little effort up front, but in the end it made a nice, simple yard. You just kind of go around and mow. And when you get done, you really don't even need to weed eat. There might be a couple of small spots. Might take 5 minutes or something, but it's not a big deal. This yard that Savannah was working on, was it a mess? It took her 2 hours the first time she mowed it to mow this little tiny lot. It was just a mess. There's stuff everywhere. I took pictures. I should have put them up here for. I took pictures of some of it. There's holes dug, and there's great big bushes that I don't know why they're growing there. They don't look good. It requires a lot of extra effort. I just looked at that yard, and I thought, you know, just a little work on simplifying that yard, cleaning things up a little bit, can make life so much easier there. What do you guys think about the living room, about this organization here? For those of you who especially been here for a while, man, that's an awesome sound, isn't it? That's great. Is the living room a complicated place? You can say. It's not like yes or no is a bad thing. What do you think? Living room, a complicated place or a simple place? I heard Lainey says both. Madonna says both. Living room, complicated, simple place. Oh, you guys are. Oh, go ahead. Okay, simple. Well said. Well said. Many are in agreement with that. Shirley. A little bit of both, okay. A few years ago, those of you that have been a part of TLR, and there's not a lot of you here, but there's a few of you here that have been here since early on, since the thing started. I don't know who started it or how it happened, but we kind of broke the living room down into thinking about the things we would do as being in two categories, nice and simple, I still like it in some ways. We said we have inside the walls. Well, inside the walls means it's the things we do for the family that's here. Okay, so it's us. It's activities we do to teach ourselves as a community and to mature ourselves. It's money we spend on things like the building and, you know, electricity and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's all this, like, inside the walls, the things that are there to keep this community within itself growing. But we were concerned because we felt like a lot of churches spent all their time on inside the walls. And so we were trying to figure this out. How do we not do that? So we created this mindset of we'd have inside the walls and outside the walls. And we would try really, really hard to focus more on the outside of the walls than we had in the past. And I'll say in many, many ways this has served us well. It's also matured us and helped us to understand the inside the walls. In fact, you notice just when you look at this, I've got a vertical line here. I've got a lot more space carved out because I'm getting ready to fill this up with stuff. I've got more space carved out for inside the walls, and there's a reason for that. But I love this layout. Ryan, do you remember when we first started, what was kind of our percent breakdown? That's what I think. So financially, we used to spend 75% of our money on stuff here and 25% here. Now, the churches I'd been a part of in the past, this was usually a 90-10 kind of rule. Was a much more, because usually the outside the walls was primarily missionary support stuff. And so a lot of churches would spend maybe 10% on that, something like that. We had some other kind of benchmark churches we looked at, and they would spend maybe 25% on what we'd call outside the walls. So we kind of focused on this. I want you to see over the years what this has began to look like and how we're kind of structured here and realize how something so simple can still maybe not be so simple. So on Sunday mornings, we meet here. We come in. We eat food. We come over and people listen to me. Isn't that what you said? Exactly. All right. So we meet here from like 11 to 12:15 downstairs. We have what I'd call pre-teaching. That was the time we had this morning. It's a time of worship, if you want to call it that. We have welcoming, we have music, things like that. Then we have what we'd call the adult teaching. That's what we're doing right now. Sometimes we have a wrap-up time where we'll do communion. Sometimes we'll have prayer groups. This morning we did that beforehand. Announcements, those types of things. Occasionally we'll get together after church and have baptisms. Sometimes we'll have a special day, maybe a baby dedication day or something like that. Each of these take a certain amount of organization. Not a ton, but a certain amount. Upstairs is a much different story. We've got someone as a gatekeeper, has to be there every week. And keep in mind that upstairs, we first of all have somebody that's in charge of all these roles, like an overall person seeing what's going on. And then they have a support network underneath them for the weekly teaching. So we got to pull this all together. So we have a gatekeeper. We have Pam and Angie that does birth through 2.5. The 2.5 to pre, 2.5 years old, that is. 2.5 years old, the pre-K. We have a class for that, a class for K through 2nd, a class for 3rd through 6th. And we would love to grow that into the older kids' ages because we have kids that are now beyond 6th grade. And so we would like to do that as well. Beyond Sunday mornings, we've got some Bible studies, house churches, prayer groups that get together. We've got a Monday group. A Tuesday prayer group has been off and on. Is it still happening?
No.
Okay.
Praying about it, though.
So we've had it in the past, we've had a Tuesday prayer group. In the past, and maybe again, we'll have a women's study that was happening on Wednesday. That was in the morning. We had another house church study that happened here and sometimes in other places on Wednesday evening. Later in the evening on Wednesdays, we had a men's confession group. Thursday, we had another study group.
That was at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. And that one, you have to go in that big room upstairs, and then you go to the left into the Lime Sherbert prayer area, and then you have to go to the right, and there's another door, and then there's a bunch of chairs and couches, and that's where we have men's confession at 9 p.m. on Wednesday.
It's almost like...
And it's only for men.
You should work for Walmart. Now, I want to stop right now because I want you guys to kind of look around this room. What have we got, 50 people in this room, something like that? How many of you guys are paid to be here? Nobody, right? We're beginning to accumulate quite a bit of stuff for for a small group of volunteers to do. It's very, very doable, but maybe not as simple as sometimes we think it is, because this is the hidden stuff. These are the things a lot of you don't even, when you come in, you come here, you eat food. So where'd the food come from? It's just there. It's like it grows there. Exactly. So we have these foundational tasks that we oftentimes don't think of. In terms of finances, somebody has to collect the money, pay the bills, do the taxes, and then decide, what do we do with the money beyond all that? What about money we spend on the inside the walls, things like the building? Do we upgrade the building? Do we buy new stuff? Do we buy lights versus the fluorescent lights, whatever? What about outside the walls? Who needs help? Are we really helping when we give somebody money? You know, you can hurt people as much giving them money as you can help them, right? I hope that doesn't happen very often. But this all has to be figured out, right? Exactly. In terms of the building, we've got maintenance. You know, stuff breaks around here. People don't realize that, but things happen. The place, you know, doesn't look too bad right now, but that's because we've got some people that have really helped out there. Cleaning. We created a thing back a while called 30 Things. So a lot of you guys signed up. Some people do it, some people don't. So, you know, cleaning kind of gets done, and then the things that don't get done, someone eventually steps in. We got audio-visual things, so we got the projector hanging up here and computers. We got to buy a computer occasionally and fix bulbs and projectors and things like that. I think supplies is an interesting one. So you go into the bathroom and you run out of toilet paper, and it's like, you know, we don't even think about it. That's what I do. I'm like, hey, will someone go get some toilet paper? Where's it at? Do you guys know where the toilet paper's at? So the toilet paper for the guy's room is in the women's room. Excellent. If there's a key for the toilet paper thing, where's that at? Because there is one, right? Does anybody know where the key for the toilet paper thing is? It's where it's supposed to be, under the soundboard, right? Doesn't that make perfect sense? So you go to the women's bathroom and get the toilet paper. Then we go under the sound. By the way, I put it there, so I'm the guilty party. And what if you need paper plates? Where would paper plates be? Anybody know? Oh, yeah. So we got a room back here. So we got a supplies room. We got a supplies room that's got stuff from Walmart, but we don't keep our toilet paper there. We keep our toilet paper in the women's restroom. Ah! Charmin is so flexible. Charmin's awesome. We've got the coffee house. You guys come in here, there's always coffee around. Usually at least, right? Jeff normally takes care of that. And then the last one that just slips by us all the time, and Ryan and I have just been talking about this again recently, is safety. You know, you think, safety? Here? Safety? Well, you know what? We've got kids upstairs. And when I go into a place that I'm not used to, and my kids are going to go someplace where I can't see them, and maybe I don't know these people very well, I'm banking on them taking some pretty good care of my kids. And so we think about safety, and we're even thinking right now about maybe changing a couple of things to make it even more safe. That's a lot of stuff going on, and we haven't even gotten to the outside the walls. When it comes to outside the walls, sometimes you think, well, first of all, do you guys think we do a lot of stuff on the outside the walls? Do you feel like we're a pretty busy church? Sometimes you can say no. But we do community meals, right? Well, I was going to get to that. When we do our Thanksgiving meal, that's a great outside the walls event. We usually have some people from the neighborhood that come in. That's awesome. We do our block parties, which we haven't done for a while. That's an awesome outside the walls event. We do our monthly meals. It's kind of more questionable, right? If it's more for us, it's more like an inside the walls. More like if we're reaching out to the community, it's more like the outside thing. Beyond that, we've done Operation Christmas Child, what, a couple times, Charmin? Three times maybe? I don't know. We've done art nights. Again, haven't done one of those in a while, but it always pops up. People talk about art nights. Coat drive. You guys know that we have AA groups and NA groups that use this building? We ought to be helping those folks out. And oftentimes, we don't even know. In fact, the other day I was told who one of the guys was that was leading that and has the key that gets in and out of the building. I didn't even know his name. I was like, this is not good. I should know this kind of stuff. I'm not sure if this is the right name, but Shelley Brosmer has a group, I think it's called Route 21, that meets here on certain occasions to help out young parents and such. It's an awesome thing. meal deliveries. Again, that's maybe more of an inside-the-walls thing because it's oftentimes after babies are born, but occasionally we do it for other folks in the community that need help. Occasionally we plan guy trips. Again, sometimes that's more inside than outside, but Brandon has planned a number of hiking trips that several of you guys have gone on. So Judy's got her cozy corner. Actually, a lot of work, isn't it, Judy? I mean, you're here several days a week when you've got that going, right? In terms of missions, and by missions I mean these are people that are going out to serve God somewhere else in the world. We've got Kim Golden. She's part of our community. She came from here. Jen Johnson, part of our community. She came from here. And then here recently, we've been talking a little bit about Tim Hofflinger. Doug, what's his group called here in town? Do you remember? I can't remember what it's called. It's a youth organization.
It's Youth for Christ.
Youth for Christ. Okay, so Tim's going to be here, and we're going to hear more from him.
It's a focus on middle school students.
Okay. Now, what I want to point out about simplicity is that, first of all, that doesn't look simple. You take this group of people here, and you know, and don't feel bad about this, but normally in a group this size, you only have about anywhere from a quarter to half of the people that are really digging in, you know, that are really kind of filling these voids. You know, so we might be talking as few as kind of 25 people here trying to organize all this stuff. It's quite doable, but we need as leadership here to make sure that we put this into bite-sized chunks. You know, one thing I can tell you on the finances front, collection, bills, taxes, disbursement, that's actually a pretty massive chunk of work right there that one family does in this church for us. It'd be awesome to give them some help in that. Make life a little easier. Take some of this decision-making stuff off their plate. Those types of things. Be awesome, okay? Unless they like doing all of it. So simplicity equaling righteous living. We've got about 5 minutes here, and I've got at least another half hour, so we will blast through this. Is simplicity taught in the Bible? You know, it's a real kind of tough thing. I think it is taught in the Bible, but it's more that it's the way that Jesus lived out his life. It's not that he did an enormous amount of time telling us to live simple lives, but he showed us the way to live, and it's actually quite a simple life. That's why we have this small number of pages for his biography. We don't need a whole lot more than that. We'll just hit a couple of these verses as we wrap up. This is from 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16. It says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. I'm actually opposed to biblical sound bites. And by that, I mean, I think it's dangerous to go into the Bible and pull little, pop out little verses. But we love to do it, and we stick these verses on our walls and that kind of stuff. But oftentimes, there are some that stand on their own. I love this. I like the beginning of that. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. I mean, it's not hard to say real love is about giving up your life for someone. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's not just talk about it. Let's show the truth or real love by our actions. Let's show the truth or real love by... You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew to figure that one out. All right? It's pretty straightforward. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always, always be eager to practice hospitality. If you find yourself coming in here on a Sunday morning, or any church, any organized group of Christians, and you find yourself leaving and saying, there wasn't enough meat in that today, or I was confused today, that was too complicated, or that just didn't work for me today, I'm going to argue that your focus that morning was not always to be eager to practice hospitality. Because if you come here and you see this as an opportunity to serve, as an opportunity to look around the room and find someone in pain and see if you can help them, to say, hey, it's nice to see you, to somebody that you don't even realize had an absolutely horrible week, then it just becomes almost like Walmart shopping for churches, right? Always be eager to practice hospitality. Pure and genuine religion, this idea of being combined together. Brandon, back a while, broke down the word religion. I just loved it because he talked about it being connected to the word ligament, and ligaments kind of hold things together. Pure and genuine religion, Christians together, in the sight of God the Father, means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Help the ones that need help, and don't let the world corrupt you. I just made the whole thing yellow. I just loved it. I just loved it. So simple. This is Old Testament stuff from Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord. Boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord. Man, there are so many times that I want to park my garden tractor in the front yard and have my neighbors think I'm the coolest guy on the street. I mean, they think I'm an idiot, obviously, since I park a garden tractor in my front yard. But I struggle with that. I struggle with that. I struggle with Eric walking around talking about my patent stuff all the time. Stop it. Stop it. So, last two things here. Jesus, Simplicity 101. They say, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? If someone asked me that kind of an open-ended question, I'd want to write an essay. I used to, after elders' meetings at First Christian Church, I'd sit through that meeting and not say a peep. And then I'd leave the meeting, and I'm telling you, I would stay up for 3 hours writing out all of the wisdom that God had put on my heart. There's no way they could take the time to read it all. They don't have that much time. It was one of the meanest things I ever did. I didn't even know it. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is coming out of the commandments. This actually isn't one of the Ten Commandments. It's the next chapter where this is mentioned. In Galatians, I think, but I can't remember. Not Galatians. Deuteronomy. Anyway, I can't remember. Sorry. Okay. And the last one, Jesus' Simplicity 101. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. We're going to stop right here. What I want you guys to know, this is an awesome chunk to dig into. That should seem a little confusing to all of you, okay? There's some really, really neat history about the legalities of making oaths that was happening a couple thousand years ago. It's fascinating. It's a wonderful thing to dig into and spend hours on. But you don't have to get it. What you need to get is, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Don't let your yes be a questionable yes, like, oh, no, I mean, this time I really mean yes. No, your yes is yes. Or no versus, oh, no, like I really mean it this time, no. No, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Very, very simple. You don't have to understand all that other stuff to get that out of there. And that's what makes the Bible so awesome. If those of you have been involved in Bible studies where you're really confused about things and you can't quite get it, talk to the leaders of the study and help them realize that that's not where you're at yet. You're still trying to just focus on these basic guidances. I can tell you, I was a little tiny kid, and I was figuring out these very basic things, and I didn't even know the Bible wasn't written in English. I thought the King James Version was what God had written it in. I didn't know, you know. It didn't matter. The Bible can be quite simple. We can make it quite complicated. We can make it quite difficult. But the Bible can be quite simple. And I am out of time. Parents, if you've got kids, please go upstairs and nab them. And while you're nabbing them, I will close us out with prayer. And you can keep walking while I pray. No offense at all. So, God, we thank you. Thank you for a time together. Thank you for 40 minutes this morning of time where we sang and we prayed. It was good for me, God, and I hope it was even better for you. God, help us in our lives to grasp simplicity where you want us to grasp it. Help us to realize that hours and hours spent arguing over little intricacies within the Bible might be better spent walking the streets, praying for people, getting to know people, helping them out. God, help us as a community as we continually try to figure out how to serve you best. Help us to understand where we need to put effort and where we need to stop putting effort. Help us to understand when we should lead and when we should follow. Help us to understand when our actions are not filled with love. And help us to understand when our actions are filled with love so we can do more of them. God, help us as a body to be healthy. Help us on our inside the walls efforts so that we don't neglect those and focus so much outside that we're aching on the inside. And as we get healed up and we learn and we grow on the inside, help us realize you can't grow on the inside without getting outside. God, for me, it's the simple things that I make complicated that seem to mess me up. Help me to not lead that way. Help me to not follow that way. God, we love you. We desperately want to follow you and live the life you want us to live. God, help us to be open to you, to realize that sometimes things we're so passionate about are things that are leading us the wrong way. And help us to hear you out. Help us to have the ears that let friends speak for you into our hearts so that we'll know what the best direction for our lives and ultimately for you really is. We love you, God. We praise you. This day is a gift to you. Through Christ we pray. Amen.